But in particular, make sure you have a Bible so you see it's the Word of God, not the opinion of man. And for all of us, let's turn to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians. Go to chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 10. So we're in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Where Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." I'd like to ask you to do something now that you may not be used to a pastor saying at the beginning of a service, and that is, I'd like you to close your Bibles for a moment. What is this? What kind of church is this? Well, hang in there. We'll be back into them in just a moment, but right now I'd like you to close your Bible. Now I'm going to go around and check. Make sure you got them closed. No cheating now. Because we're going to have a little exercise right now. And I don't want anybody cheating by checking their Bible quite yet. So everybody got their Bible closed? Now hopefully you put your ribbon in there or a marker or something, but we'll be back there in just a moment. But with your Bible closed, I'd like to address a couple of issues here. Paul warns us in the section of Scripture that we just read that every Christian, every person that's received Jesus as Savior, we are in a battle. Not maybe in a battle, we are in a battle. And it's in the spiritual realm, Paul points out. So make no mistake about it. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are in this battle. Not maybe, you are. But as Paul speaks about that, he also points out that although we're in a battle, there's a place of victory. He tells us that we can have a place of standing. Don't turn there, let me just read it. But he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Then again in verse 13 we read, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So God has provided us what the Bible calls armor. He says the whole armor of God. God has provided us armor that we might stand against the attacks, the schemes, the wiles, it says, of the enemy of our soul. So this morning, don't open your Bible yet, but I'd like to ask you something. Now don't answer out loud on this one. You'll have your chance in a moment. But how's that battle going? Would that maybe explain some of the things going on in your life that aren't too good right now? That you've lost sight of or never were aware of the fact that there's a battle? And that if you're going to walk in the victory God would have you to have, there's an armor that we need to put on continually? Are you getting the victory? Are you standing in the way that Paul talks about here, standing? Or if truth be told, are you getting knocked down a lot in this spiritual journey? I pray that this time would be a time that help all of us get and keep the victory God desires us to have. I've called our time together this morning based on this admonition, this command, this call, this privilege. Take up the whole armor of God. Let's pray. Father, your love for us has been established clearly. For you demonstrated it. Father, you sent your Son to die for us. That we might experience forgiveness, healing. That we might have a true and living hope. That we might have our destinies changed. And for each one who's received that work of the cross, you also tell us, now here's the armor. You're in a battle now, but here's the place of victory. Lord, would you help us? Help us to lay hold of what this means. To not just head know it, but to heart know it and to really apply it. Lord, for some this will be just a refreshment time, just a reminder, perhaps an encouragement. For others, it's brand new. Yet all of us have to have this going on. So Lord, challenge us. Work in us. Help us, Lord. Thank you that you don't leave us without that armor. Now help us, Lord, to take it up. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't open your Bible yet. Before you open your Bible, I have a couple of questions I want to ask you. Now, in this, you do not have to answer. If you choose to volunteer an answer, that'd be great. It'll help us kind of apply this a little better. But remember, you volunteered. Now, you in the military, you know the phrase, you were voluntold to do it. Well, I'm not going to voluntold you to do it, tell you to do it, but it would be great if some choose to participate in this to get us thinking about it. Because what I want to ask you is this. Paul, in a moment, we're going to see in our text, he's going to go on to say that he's provided this armor. God has provided armor for us to have the victory. It's called the whole armor of God. I'm wondering this morning if anybody here could name the armor of God. Now, don't name it out loud yet. You'll have your time in just a moment. But I'm wondering if anybody here could name the armor of God. There are actually six pieces of armor that Paul's about to mention. And I'm not going to ask you to name all those pieces of armor right off the bat. Matter of fact, let's do it this way. Who here can just name the first piece of armor? Just the first piece of armor in order. What would it be? Now, make sure it's a scriptural piece of armor, but if you know what that very first... Why am I just saying the first piece of armor? Well, you got to start somewhere, and God puts it in order for a reason, and we'll look at that in a moment. But right now, who knows what the first piece of armor is? Go for it. Okay, we have a suggestion of the breastplate of righteousness. It's righteousness. Okay, that's one possibility. What's another? Over here, we have the belt of truth. That's one piece of the armor, and that's the possibility. Go for it. Helmet of salvation. Back here we hear the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We've had four of the pieces. Anybody else want to... What's another? Now we're going for the first piece of armor. The first piece, we have helmet of salvation. What's that? The truth of peace? Feet shod. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yeah. The shield of faith. Okay, I think we've hit all six. Well, they can't all be first. But it's good participation. It shows me that many here do know, at least some of them, perhaps all. Well, let's do this. Let's see if we can name them. Let's go ahead and name them. Matter of fact, I know. Let's go ahead and name all six pieces of armor. We've had this, but let's make sure we're all ready. Matter of fact, what I'm going to do now is I am going to call on someone. I'm going to look around and pick somebody out. And when I pick you out, just go ahead and name off all six pieces of the armor, okay? I always like this time when I look around. You know, because here's the reactions you get. First of all, you get the guy going, you know what? He's probably looking for someone to make an example of. So I'll look like I know what he's talking about. And so they're always, there's those sitting there and go ahead. Go ahead. You don't know, you don't have the foggiest what I'm talking about. But you're like, go ahead. Because you figure I won't pick on you. Then there's always, of course, those who don't know it and they don't want to be called on. They're like, oh no, don't do it, please. You know, sweating bullets like crazy. Somebody right now might be trying to get their Bible open a little bit. I know, I see you. I'm not going to call on anybody because I'm a nice guy. And I don't want you to leave the church. But while I'm a nice guy and therefore I won't call on you, Satan is not a nice guy. Now hear me, hear me. If you can't name them, you sure ain't putting them on. How are you putting on, meaning actively doing those things that the armor represents, how are you doing them if you don't even know what it is? Well, I pray this morning by the time we're done, you not only know, head know, but you experientially know. You'll be doing this because that's the point. Because see, the next step in this is this. Some of you right now might be saying, I could have had it if he'd called on me. I think I could have come up with most of them, if not all of them. And you can sit here and feel pretty good about the fact that, hey, you know what? I can name the armor. Well, that is good in itself. I mean, it's a start, but it's not enough. Your protection is not in head knowing what they are. Your protection isn't in naming the armor. Think about it. Let's say you're actually in the military. You're out on the front lines. You're right there in your foxhole. There's the enemy across the clearing in their position. The battle begins. They're attacking you. What are you going to do to have victory and survive and all? Well, you stand up and you begin to go, bullet, grenade, the other guy's going to do? Look at this guy. Boom. And down you go. Why? Because it's not naming it that's your protection. You see, I say the armor of God, and some of you go, oh yes, I remember some of those. I mean, you can even name some. I think it's in Ephesians 6. But that's not our armor, just naming them. You got to be doing it. Now, open your Bible, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. These pieces of armor are simply, Paul was amongst Roman soldiers. It's a prison letter. He's guarded by Roman soldiers. He very well might have been sitting there looking at a Roman soldier, sees their armor, and says, you know what? We've got spiritual armor. Just as they've got to put theirs on physically, we have to have on this armor spiritually, meaning it's got to be an active reality in our lives, or else we're going to get tripped up. The enemy's going to find success. His darts are going to find their target in our lives. And we don't want that. So Paul says, finally, verse 10, finally, after all this I've been sharing with you, after all he's been saying about the riches we have, the wealth, the spiritual wealth we have in Jesus, the walk we're to have in Jesus, now he speaks about the warfare we have in Jesus. Finally, my brethren, so it's for believers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The word be strong there in the Greek is in the continuous tense. Hence, it could be translated, be daily strengthened, or be continually receiving strength. So it's something that must be ongoing. Every day, you have to get dressed. That's the idea. You have to be receiving the strength continually if you're going to have victory. From where do I get it? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have no inherent strength against the enemy of our souls. My wisdom, my physical strength, those things, they're not enough to fight against these spiritual forces that are out there trying to trip us up. Well, then how do I do this? It says here that it's in the Lord, in the power of his might. That's where we're going to find this victory. That's where we're going to find the strength and the help and the deliverance that we seek and need. Well, how do I do this? Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It has been said that Christians make two mistakes. They either act as if there is no devil, or they gave him too much power. Don't fall for either one. You don't have to live in fear. Greater is he that's in you, believer, than he that's in this world. And we don't have to look for demons under every bush, you know. No. But beware, you are in a battle. But you can have the victory, but you must be putting on the whole armor of God. That's where you'll be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the trickery of the devil. But notice it says, put on. See, that's our part. The armor is provided. All we need has been supplied. It's hanging there, if you will. Now, put it on. I can't put your armor on for you, and you can't put my armor on for me. Each of us have to do this daily, continually. It does no good to head know this. Put on means something you actively are doing. These are pointing to spiritual truth that have to be going on in our lives to walk in the victory he has for us. Verse 12. Why? Why do we have to have this armor on? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The principalities and the powers here speak to that fact that there is an enemy of our soul, his name is Satan. But Satan is not God's equal. He's nowhere close. Satan is a created being. God is omnipresent. He can be everywhere. Satan can't. God is omniscient. He knows everything. Satan doesn't. So understand that. But while Satan can't be everywhere, he's not on his own, but he has these cohorts, these demons and all, these powers, these principalities. It speaks of rankings in the spiritual realm. And they are out there. Now, the believer cannot be possessed by the enemy, but we can be harassed, we can be attacked by the enemy. Why? Why does the enemy attack us? Because he hates God, and he hates us because we belong to God. And he doesn't see God's purposes being worked out in our lives. The enemy wants to rip us off of the peace and the joy and all that's been. He wants to keep us from walking in the victory that's been purchased for us. So it's a very real thing that's going on. Again, we don't have to live in fear of it, but we have to be aware of it, and this is our place of victory. But notice it says, wrestle. Now, wrestling is something done what? It's a good picture because wrestling is done up close and personal, isn't it? It's hand-to-hand combat. It's right there is the idea. You don't wrestle at a distance. When the wrestling match starts, they don't say, you stand there and you stand there. Don't touch each other. Now go for it. What? No, it's going to be wrestling. That's the idea. There's a battle going on. But the question is, are you ready? Are you prepared? Verse 13. Therefore. Now that's a word that reminds us, again, based on what was just said, the following is true. Based on the fact that you're in a battle, believer, it's not a take it or leave it deal. You are in it. But I've got victory for you, God's saying. Therefore, based on that, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So there it is again. For double emphasis, he said it before, now he says it again. Take up the whole armor of God. So how much armor do I need if I'm going to get victory? Take up a couple of pieces and you should be okay. That's what some of us live like. I think one piece has to do with the Bible. We think like that. Well, I know a couple of pieces and that should get me through the day. A soldier going into the field who only has a little bit of the uniform on, his buddies, his leaders are going to go, hey, what are you doing? Get on all of the armor. Take up the whole armor. We need everything God offers us. And why would we not? Why would we go out on our own? Well, what is this armor? Now we get to it. You were very good before naming various pieces. Let's look at them now. First piece of armor, verse 14. Stand therefore. So here it is. Based on all this, I want you to stand. How? First of all, having girded your waist with truth. So the first piece of armor, the foundational piece, is truth. It uses the phrase here to gird your waist. Some of your translations say the belt of truth. And that's just simply the idea. You see, in those days, in this culture, back in that time, the men wore robes. And for normal activity, the robes would just hang down loose. But if they were getting involved in some kind of work activity, or they were going to run, or perhaps, get in some kind of a conflict, they would take their robe and bring it up and hitch it into their waist, into their belt. The idea is be prepared, be ready for the battle. This would allow for freedom of movement when they do this. And so the idea is get on your belt, be ready. Now, that stresses the fact that since this belt is what? This foundational piece, this very first piece is what? It's truth. So it means we must be actively studying, knowing, and applying the Word of God, which is truth. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's truth, and His Word is the truth. And so it's that foundational piece. Now, why truth first? The belt for the armorer of a soldier was something that his breastplate would hook to and anchor it down so it wouldn't ride up and expose vulnerabilities. His sword would be hooked to the scabbard. The scabbard would be hooked to his belt. It was foundational. And so the very first piece we're to have on is truth. See, it's important that we kind of know this. I mean, God doesn't do things randomly. We get dressed in order. You got dressed in order. Does anybody have their socks over their shoes this morning? I don't think so. Probably most of you put your socks on first, because that's how it's designed to be. So the first thing is to have truth settled. Well, why is it so foundational? Why is everything anchored to it? Because Satan is what? The father of lies. But Satan doesn't announce that to you. Satan doesn't come along and say, now get ready. I'm your enemy, and I'm trying to rip you off. And I'm about to tell you a lie, so make sure you see it's a lie. And don't you believe me now, okay? He doesn't do that. Instead, he comes along. And he presents it very convincingly. And and sounds good. Makes sense. And a lot of times he has a lot of truth going on. But there's always a lie woven somewhere through it. How are you going to know a lie? By knowing the truth. And that's why it's foundational. We must know the truth so we don't fall to the lies. That's the first piece of armor. What's the second piece? Verse 14, the second part of it. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covered what? The breastplate, the literal, the physical one for the Roman soldier, covered the vital organs. It wrapped around the trunk of the body to protect the heart and other vital organs. It's not fun getting stabbed in the leg, maybe, but they could handle that better than right to the heart. And so it protected the vital organs. That's what the breastplate of righteousness does here. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him, the Father made the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That verse refers to the fact that for everybody who comes to Jesus, there's a transaction that takes place. Our sins are put upon Jesus, and his righteousness is put upon us. It's called imputed to us, put to our account. So now every believer has right standing before God. A righteousness. We have righteousness, not of our own, but of God's, given to us. And so now my breastplate partly is that right standing with God. But I say partly because it also has this going on. Not just the righteousness imputed to us, but the righteousness imparted in and through us. What do I mean? What I mean is, as God is now in us, as that righteousness has been put to my account, he begins to work in me. And he begins to work that rightness, that right living, those correct choices out in and through my life. I begin to obey him. I don't rebel. I obey. I understand that, wow, this is the place of blessing. This is the place of protection. Not to get saved, but because I am. This is the place he'd have for me. So it's a righteous work, you might say, that we do. It's our right steps. Again, not to get saved, but because we are. So I have this righteousness, this right standing, as well as that working out of my life, sanctification, setting apart, him becoming more Christ-like going on. Well, in the spiritual realm, how's that a protection? Remember, the heart in the Bible is the seat of who I am. The core, it means the real me, not the muscle that pumps blood around, but the real me. And so righteousness covers that now. So when the enemy would come along and try to use my feelings against me, try to attack in that realm of the heart, my will, the real me, I can stand, they won't find their target because I have right standing with him. Because I've learned, hey, as I obey him and track with him, I walk in this victory. Guard your heart, Scripture says, for out of it proceed the issues of life. Guard your heart. Be careful what and who you give your heart to, and your emotions, your decisions, your will. Only God deserves that place. But as you let him have that place, that is your protection. What else? What's the third piece of armor? Verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What would you think of a soldier who went out to battle in bare feet? Got everything else on, but you look down and he's got bare feet. You go, hold it. That's not going to get you very far. You're going to be a liability. You're going to be dancing around and stubbing your toes and everything else. And it won't work that way. You must have on these shoes. Your feet must be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I am told that the Roman soldiers' sandals had little nails in them. The idea was they needed it for firm footing when they were doing hand-to-hand combat, when you're wrestling. Much like a football player or something has cleats on the bottom of his shoes to prevent him from slipping and all. That's what they would have. And that's the idea here. Because it speaks of our foundation, our grounding. That which, if I'm anchored on, I won't slip and fall. You see, if I am pulled aside by false doctrine, if I get into a works trip, those are slippery footing. I really won't know where I stand. It won't give me the victory. Instead, I need to be anchored in the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's called the gospel of peace because it ushers peace with God into our lives. Stay with the basics. Stay with the basic gospel message is the idea. Stand in peace. Stand on that foundation God has provided is the idea. That's where our stability is. That's where the sure footing is. Fourth piece. So far we've covered the first, belt of truth. Second, breastplate of righteousness. Third, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Fourth, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Just as the enemies of the Roman soldiers would take their arrows and dip them in a substance that they'd set on fire and shoot them. So again, Paul's likening these attacks of the enemy as fiery darts. They're meant to wound and to trip up and to rip off the believer. Well, what's going to quench those darts? What will put them out? He says here, the shield of faith. The important role of taking God at His word. Of believing God. Abraham was counted righteous because he believed God. Because he said, hey, I believe that what God said He's going to do, He's going to do. He can do it and He will do it. Faith is trusting God no matter what. It's not just an intellectual faith. It's not just head agreeing to it. It's living it. That, by implication, is something you got to put it up to block the blow of the enemy. You got to put it up to stop that dart that's coming your way. And that's the idea here. So its very usage here points to an active faith. A believing in, a standing upon, a settling the issue of who God is and who you are in Him and all those important, important things. What's the next piece? Verse 17. Down to the fifth piece of armor. And take the helmet of salvation. Very important piece of armor. Because what does a helmet do? It protects the head. And namely, the brain inside that skull. Very crucial, of course, for our physical bodies that a soldier have his helmet on, because the brain coordinates, directs the function of the body. It also has to be protected. What's the idea here? Why do we need protection of our brains? Because that's so often the target of these darts, our thought life, our minds, what we believe to be so about God, about us. That's why it's so important we know what God says. Not what you've been taught or told or just come to somehow some weird conclusion or others are saying, some weird doctrine going around or something. No, what does God say? It's important we protect our brains. How do I have this helmet on? By doing just that. By surrendering, yielding, if you will, submitting my brain to God. It talks about that fact that we offer up ourselves as a living sacrifice. He works, so that cleansing going on, the washing of water of the Word, and He cleanses our brains, and He begins that work. Scripture speaks of the renewed mind is the idea, that work the Spirit has going on. So, as arrows of guilt and condemnation come flying at you through the form of a thought, attacking your thought life, as a fantasy begins to take root and grow, oh, if I could have that experience, if I could be with that person, if I could have that thing, then I'd be whole and complete and be wonderful. If those are lies, they're attacks, and we need to bring that thought captive to the Lord. Submit it to the truth. Don't let the dart find a target. So we have to have that helmet of salvation. I'm saved. I belong to Him. I'm saved by grace and mercy now, and I am in Him. And so that helmet of salvation and the consequent work of renewing of my mind becomes my protection. The last and sixth piece of armor, verse 17, the second part of it, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, how do we use the sword? What's that talking about? Earlier we talked about the importance of truth as a foundational piece. But now here we see the Word of God spoken about as a sword. Well, the Greek word that's translated Word of God here, which is the word, that word there, is the word rhema. And rhema means specific scriptures. It's not the logos, the collective Word of God. But it's the rhema that Paul says here. And that means specific scriptures that we are to use in combat against the enemy. It's very common to say, and I won't take it as a task if you do it. A lot of people point to their Bible and go, here, I got my sword with me. I got my sword. Here's the sword of God. Well, as one commentator said, he said, you know, this isn't the sword of God. This is a whole armory. This is the armory of God, he said, which contains thousands of swords, is the idea. For what God is saying here is, you need to know and be able to apply specific scriptures so you can parry against the attack and then go on the offensive. Because the word of God here, the sword, is the only offensive weapon here. Everything else was defensive, to protect us and help us live in the victory God has for us. But then he says, not only that, but now I've given you an offensive weapon. Yes, a sword can be used to block the blows that are coming. But then it also can be used to conquer, to drive home a point, to get a victory in a situation or whatever. But that's the idea here. That's the word of Rhema. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, the word of God is a sword in the spiritual realm, and can divide between bone and marrow. It can discern thoughts. It's alive and powerful. And so, and only it is, not my conclusions, well, I think, that's not the... Here's my sword. As I pull out scriptures and accurately apply them to these attacks, it not only keeps ground, but it gains ground. We drive back the enemy. We gain ground that we lost to the enemy with this sword if we just apply and live in the word. Now, that's your six pieces of armor, but some argue there's a seventh. If not, certainly there's still an important aspect, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Paul here points out the importance of prayer in this warfare. As soldiers must be in communication with their commander, so must we be in communication with ours. We must talk to and receive from our commander, in this analogy, if we're going to be victorious. It can be a disastrous thing for soldiers in the field to lose their communication with other members of the group or back at headquarters or other leaders. Things can turn to chaos quickly. They can get in harm's way in a hurry if they have lost communication with one another. Especially, of course, in this case, we have to have it with the Lord. What I'm saying is the armored believer will be much in prayer as you look to the Lord and receive from the Lord. We are to put on the armor with prayer. We are to wear the armor with prayer. We cannot use it properly except if we are in fellowship and communion with God. Prayer will help us apply the armor. Well, Pastor Dale, that was an interesting message you had this morning. I'm not sure really, Roman soldier, don't get caught up in the physical part of this. Understand, he's speaking on the spiritual realm. He's just trying to use armor to help us understand the necessity of it and the doing of it. What these pieces are represent spiritual truth, activities, things we're to be doing, putting on daily if we're going to have victory. Having said that, I want to do something right now. For those of you that are in the military or you've been in the military, you're familiar with this idea. If you haven't been, you still understand the concept, and that is this. When they take that young man or woman and they take them into basic training, you remember basic training, guys? That time that was nothing, it was total enjoyment and pleasure and a vacation. For some branches, it was more so than others. For this morning, perhaps we'll use the one that's known for the most hardcore, that's the Marines. But either way, but the idea is, you take that young boy or girl that, you know, definitely don't know anything about it yet, and they go through a process where hopefully when they get out the other end, they've been equipped. They're ready to go. At least ready to move on and grow in this and all. But there's a process they go through in that. Well, as you go through basic training, they teach you a lot of things about how to protect yourself, and armor to have on. For example, there's that trusty weapon. They're given that rifle, that weapon. They get to live with the thing and sleep with the thing and learn how to clean it and break it down and put it together and name it and everything else. Lots of classes on it, everything about that weapon, because for the Marine, it's going to be crucial they know about that. But is that all they do? Is all they do? Do they just listen to the drill instructor tell them about their rifle? Do they just go to class and look at a board where they talk about the pieces of the rifle? Do they just read the book that tells them about the rifle? No. What if that was all they did? It'd be rough going for them. But that's what some Christians do. That's what some are going to maybe do here this morning. You'll hear me talk about it as a drill instructor would with the troops, attempting to have you be equipped, and you'll listen to talks about it, or you'll read the manual about it. But what do they do at boot camp after they've taught you those things? They do what? They take you out there to the range, and you begin to learn how to use it. You actually begin to fire it for different positions and different ways and under different circumstances. You begin to actually learn how to use the weapon. So that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk a little bit about this, and not just that, but we're going to give you an opportunity. Let's imagine you're on the firing range right now, because you're more than that. You're in the battle. But along with this example, let's say the enemy were to shoot a bullet at you right now that says, how could you think God could ever forgive you? Look at what you did. Oh yeah, he can forgive other people, but look what you did. You have sinned too badly. Let's say the enemy were to shoot a bullet at you that says God can never forgive that. Who here would be so bold as to tell me? What would be your armor? What would be your actual way now to stop, to defeat, to overcome that bullet coming at you? God could never forgive that. You're unforgivable. God can't handle that. What would you say? Who'd be willing? Who'd be so, now, use Scripture with me, not your opinion. Scripture. Tammy, is that you? Go for it. You got my verse. Exactly. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, the truth isn't in us, 1 John says. But if we'll confess them, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 8, what would be one you could use? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Jesus, there's no condemnation to you. The enemy comes along and goes, you think God could love someone like you and forgive you? And say, hey. And you use the word of God. Don't you? Greg Glory likes to say, when the devil comes knocking at the door, just turn to the Lord and say, Lord, would you get that? Let the word of God, don't get into a theological debate of your opinion or something with God about, well, the word of God, hey, there's no condemnation. I'm in Jesus, not condemned. And the enemy has to flee. You've just thrust him through with the sword. See, you've really got to practice this. Another bullet. You know, the way to go to heaven, the way to be saved, the way to know you're heaven bound, it has two parts to it. You need to receive what Christ did for you on the cross, and then you need to go out and live a life that's worthy of being saved. You're going to need to, see, what I'm saying is you're saved by grace and also by works. You're saved by your works as well as grace. What would you say to that? What's the scripture? If I said, someone comes along to you, if those nice, I take that back, they're not nice. If those young men in their white shirts and tie come to your door and say, oh, you know, it's not, grace isn't enough. You have to work your way to heaven, because that's what they're telling you. You've got to work your way, and you'll never really know until you get there, and then you'll find out. So it's the cross plus works. If someone says that to you, if the enemy shoots that bullet at you, what would you scripturally say? Who's got something they might say scripturally to the idea that you're saved by grace plus works? Go for it. Free. You got it. Yeah, all right, Frank. All right, children's ministry teachers, good stuff. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, you maybe kind of vaguely knew that, but you got to specifically know it. These are just examples of attacks in which you pick up the rhema, the Word of God, specific Scripture, and go, this is the truth. Because they will go on. You know what's interesting? If you are in the Marines and you happen to be part of the infantry, when you're through with basic training, it's an awesome time. You graduate, get to have on the uniform on, you're looking good. But as those who are in or have been in the infantry and the Marines, you know, do they at that point say, okay, you're good to go, go home, we'll call you when we need you? Your life has just started in the infantry then. Because then it's off to advanced infantry training. There's more to learn about this battle. More to learn how to work as a unit and all the things they do. And it continues. That's why they're always trucking them out to 29 Palms in different places. Practice, practice, practice. What would you think of the Olympian? Let's say you're an Olympian swordsman. It's your turn. You're headed for the Olympics. You've been chosen. Are you really going to wait till it comes to the match and you're standing there, gee, this is for the gold medal. I better practice a little. Hope I know how to use this thing. In about 2 seconds, you're going, you lose. No. You begin to do it over and over and practice it and apply it and learn how to do it and get better and sharpen it and everything else. And that's what we're to be doing. Because you understand, we're bombarded with lies and attacks from our past. The enemy tries to use those things, this culture. I mean, so many billboards out there are lies. Do we understand that? That commercial, that new self-help book or something, or new movement going around. When that billboard says, buy this car, and, oh, you'll have arrived. It's a car. But people think, oh, if I get that stereo, if I can just have that television, whatever it is, oh, then I'll be complete. Then I'll be whole. They get it and they wonder, why do I still feel this way? Does this morning, and this application of this truth, this idea of armor and battle, how they get victory, does this maybe explain to you why you are struggling? Does this maybe explain to you why you've been getting knocked down? Why it seems like you don't seem to have the victories? Why your spiritual life seems to be on such a roller coaster? Does this maybe explain it? Because truth be told, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Or you vaguely do, or you do once in a while. I remember it once in a while. Every day, the soldier has to be ready to go. Every day he goes out into the field, he's got to be good to go. He's got to be ready. And you do too. And you know what? It's not a take or leave it. It's going on. It's going on right now. It's going on out those doors. It's continual. So what's the goal in all this? What does Paul emphasize? What did he say in verse 11? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, not get knocked down. You see, it's not we have to get victory. It's we fight from the place of victory. It's already won, but this is how I appropriate it. This is how I live in it. Stand is the idea. Verse 13 again. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then verse 14 again. Stand, therefore. Don't fall, stand. Don't give ground, stand. Don't slip and fall, stand. A sure foundation. What's God's goal for us? Stand. Live in the victory He's purchased. See, the key here is what? Put on the whole armor of God. You have to have on the armor. The whole armor. What's the promise if we do? If we will have on the whole armor of God, the promise is this. You will stand. What an awesome thing. God doesn't say, go for it, hope you make it. The drill instructor is doing all that because he wants to see that recruit not just graduate, but in the end, he wants to see that Marine come back alive and having accomplished his mission. And much like a DI, I stand here this morning. Remember we studied a few weeks ago. My calling is to equip you, the believer. Equip you. Here it is. Here's the armor. Here's how you use it. Choice is up to you now. But if you'll do it, there's a promise. You will stand. How good is that? Tim, why don't you come on up? There'll be prayer partners available after our time together here at the end of our time over by the prayer room. For those not able to come out Wednesday night, remember we're going to have a little time of communion about 15 minutes or so after this service concludes. And for all of us, remember, there's a place of victory. There's a place of experiencing all God has. You don't have to live in fear. Don't give the enemy more credit than he deserves. Don't look for, oh, you know, the best defense is a good offense. Just be so much in the Lord that the enemy will have no place in your life. And walk in the joy and the freedom of that, of which he's purchased, and this is how to do it. May he find us every day doing just that. Father, in your love for us, you provide the victory, the answer, that which we need, which we really need. Lord, help us. Help us be those who every day have your armor on. May you find us as we go through every circumstance, every trial, everything, fully armored, equipped, good to go. But Lord, it's only because of you we can. And so we want to give you all the glory and all the praise. How we thank you for the loving, tender, awesome care that you have for us. All glory to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. The world.